Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a child.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." We're glad to have this morning Dan Tresiano, best known to us as DT.
That's a horrible picture. Good morning, guys. Thanks for coming out this morning. I guess I'm encouraged that there's a lot of people here, but also maybe the fact that you haven't finished your chapel requirements yet. I was thinking about standing back behind this podium, but I didn't know if you'd be able to see me or not, so I'm going to kind of stand on the side. I just want to talk to you guys a lot about what God's been teaching me this year. God's just been so awesome to me, and I want to speak just from the awesome things that God's taught me. The number one thing that God's convinced me of this year is that He is huge. God is so awesome, and He's just so big in my life that I'm just like, man, God, you are huge, and everything that's happened to me, I can trust that because you're big enough. The other thing that God's taught me and convinced me of is that this word is great. This word is truth. This word is powerful. It's living and active in my life, and not only did it relate to people back in the day, back to the people of Israel, but it's perfectly relevant and applicable to my life today. And so everything that I say today comes from those two foundational things that I believe, that God is huge and that God's word is living and active. And so I'm going to preach from that. But what I want to do first is I want to talk to you guys some examples, some biblical examples of what God has done in Scripture through the lives of some people who are about our age. Because I think we're like, there's this disconnect between what happens in Scripture and what happens in our lives. We think that God uses people in Scripture maybe in some special way, that these are special, unique people with this awesome faith that we don't even know what that's like and we can't relate to it. But I want to open up to a book of the Bible, the book of Daniel. I decided I'd use that because it's a pretty sweet name. And so we're going to do this. So for the two of you guys who actually brought your Bibles today, if you want to open up to the book of Daniel, first of all, let me just give you a little bit of background of what's going on. The Israelites were God's chosen people. We know that. We've learned that in our Bible classes here. And there was a time in Israel's history they lived disobediently, and God said, "You know, I'm going to have to punish these people." And eventually, this nation called Babylon, at this time the most powerful nation in the world, comes in, and they take the Israelites captive, and they bring them back to Babylon. And there's this king. His name's Nebuchadnezzar. It's pretty hard to spell. I wrote it wrong, actually, on my little card here. But Nebuchadnezzar was a very powerful king. And what he decided was that we need to have these wise people in our nation who can rule, who can make decisions that affect the nation. And so what he decided, if you want to look at verse 4, this is what he said. Actually, verse 3. "The king ordered Aspenaz, chief of the court of the royal officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians." Sounds like Geneva students. Wise, aptitude for all kinds of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and very handsome as well. So, But he decided what they're going to do, and he said, "All right, we're going to feed them with all the choice foods, with the wine. We're going to feed these people. We're going to make them the best that we can be so that we can rule our nation well, so that we can be successful." And there was four men from Israel who he brought in. One of these men was Daniel and three of Daniel's buddies, and he gave them new names. But Daniel had certain convictions. He had this view of God, and he believed God so much that he said, "I'm going to hold true to my convictions of who God is and what God's commanded me, no matter what." And this is like one of my favorite verses in the Bible, and I think like even for my life, just because his name is the same. But verse 8, it says, But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. He believed so firmly in who God was that he wasn't going to let that be changed no matter what happened. And so what he does is he proposes this test to this official, because the official's afraid, like, hey, if I don't let them eat this food, they're going to starve, they're going to look bad, they're not going to be effective for what, and I'm going to lose my job. So he's like, well, for 10 days we can set up this test, and you can eat vegetables and drink only water, which sounds like a sweet diet. I'm thinking about going on it, because what happened was, because of Daniel's faithfulness, because of his obedience, God honored that and blessed him. And at the end of 10 days, Daniel and his three buddies were better looking, they were more nourished than any of the other people who were eating the choice wines and the choice food. And, like, God honored Daniel's faithfulness because of that. Verse 19 says, the king, after this, the king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel and his three buddies. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in the whole kingdom. God blessed them because Daniel was faithful to what God had commanded him. Daniel was faithful to his view of who God was. Quick another story about Daniel. This is pretty awesome. The king has this bad dream, and he's a little worried about it. And so he brings in all the enchanters, all the astrologers to interpret this dream for him. But he's like, here's the catch. I'm not going to tell you what the dream is. You have to tell me what the dream is. And not only do you have to tell me what the dream is, but you have to interpret it for me. I'm like, what, are you crazy? We can't do that. And so he's like, well, if you can't do that, you're all going to die. I'm going to kill you all. So they're a little concerned about that. And Daniel finds out about this. And this is Daniel's first response. He's not like, oh, crap, I'm going to die. He's like, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we have asked. You have made known to us the dreams of the king. He held God so highly. He believed God was big enough not only to tell him what the king's dream was, but that he would tell him the interpretation of it. And guess what? God showed up. He expected him to, and God showed up big. So Daniel goes into the king and says, yo, king, this is what the dream was, and this is what it means. And the king's response was, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery. The guy who had no regard for God whatsoever, this is his response to God, because he's seen the power of God at work in the life of Daniel. He's seen Daniel empowered to do great and mighty things. And what he does is he lavishes Daniel with all these sweet gifts and sets him up with a good job. And Daniel's blessed and has an awesome job ruling the kingdom, the most powerful kingdom in the world. This guy who's not even from this nation is in this huge position of leadership because he was faithful to God, because he believed God was big enough to answer him in a time of need. He expected God to show up, and God showed up. Another example from Scripture, real quick. I want to move through these because there's a couple other things I want to talk about. There was this girl in the Bible, Esther, Queen Esther, not the Queen Esther that spoke last week. This girl was this young Jewish girl, and what was happening, she was in a foreign land as well at this time, and the king needed a wife, and so he's like, okay, bring in all the girls from the kingdom, and I'm going to pick one. And he picked Esther because she was hot. And that's what I read that in the Bible last night. So anyway, she became king basically for that reason. Am I doing something wrong here? And there's this guy Haman, this bad dude. He wants to kill all the Jews because he didn't like Jews and thought they were bad. So he wanted to kill them all off. And basically, it was going to happen because Haman had this position of leadership and he was able to do it. Esther, she has this. She firmly believes in who God is. She firmly believes that the Israelites, the Jewish people, were God's chosen people, and realizes that she's the one who has, the only one really, who has the power to be able to protect this whole nation of people from being destroyed. And her uncle comes to her and says this: who knows that? But that for you have been come. Let me try that. Who knows that you have come to the royal position for such a time as this? And, like, when I read that, I was just like, you know, that's awesome, because she believed that God was big enough not only to allow her to be able to be used, not only to to be active in her life, but that God was big enough to put her in a position for a specific time and for a specific purpose to step in the gap and stand up for these Jewish people so that the people of God wouldn't be destroyed. You know, it was a huge risk to her own life to be able to step up and do this, but she believed firmly in who God was. And guess what happened? She saved the whole Jewish people, and I think that's pretty awesome. All right, we all know about the disciples, right? The disciples were the people who followed Jesus around for 3 years, and they were awesome people, but I think there's something that we don't really realize about the disciples. We think that they're all these great spiritual leaders, you know, they were awesome. We see this, and I think we often forget, there's been a lot of research done in this, and it's pretty much estimated that the disciples were about our age. They were probably in their late teens and early 20s, and like when I heard that, I was like, wow, that's awesome. These guys did great things for God, and they were our age. Jesus picked people who are young to impact the world for him. But I want you to think about this. Jesus is going to the cross. He's about to be crucified. All his disciples, the people who followed him for 3 years, who followed his teaching, they just abandoned him. They're gone, done. They're nowhere to be found. And Jesus rises again. He shows himself to the disciples. He gives them his Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, we have the book of Acts. The disciples, they can't shut up about this Jesus guy. They can't shut up about what Jesus has done. They're healing people. They're doing all these things in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Sanhedrin comes in and says, you guys can't do this. This is wrong. You're speaking falsehood. We're going to punish you. We're going to do this. And they say, you know, whether it's right to obey you or whether it's right to obey men, that's for you to decide. But we can't help but speak the name of Jesus. And we're, like, that's awesome. Because nothing is going to stop them. Nothing stopped them from sharing what totally changed and transformed their lives. Nothing stopped them from the power of the resurrection. Nothing stopped them from the power of the Holy Spirit working in their lives. They weren't afraid. They weren't ashamed of what God was going to do. And I think the reality, guys, here is that these were ordinary men. They weren't something extra special. They were ordinary people empowered by God to do great things. The disciples changed the world. The whole church started because of them. People came to faith in great numbers because they weren't ashamed. They couldn't help but speak the name of Jesus. And guys, this is the most awesome thing of this whole part, is that God has empowered us in the same way. We have the same Holy Spirit living within inside us. Like, when I think about this, it just blows me away. That God, the Almighty God, the God of the universe, who holds the whole universe in his hand, is living inside me right now. And as Christians, he's living inside us. We're empowered in the same way. We're empowered in the same way to change the world for Christ. We're empowered by the Lord. All we really have to do is believe that God is big enough. All we really have to do that God believe is that God is who he said he was and that he's going to show up if we expect him to show up. Now, for me, this is scary. It kind of scares me that God is living inside of me right now because I think there's a whole lot of responsibility that comes with that. I think there's a whole lot of action that we are called to because of who we are in Christ. It's a big deal. And as I think about it, and I try to live faithfully in my walk for the Lord, you know, and I feel like the Lord's calling me to do this or to do that, there's one thing that really comes to mind, and it's this huge fear for me, because I feel like, you know, I can't do these things in my own strength. They have to be about the Lord. And I want to share with you two different things that God has called me that I'm scared to do. But I feel like I need to step in the gap because it's my calling, because if I don't do it, no one else will do it. And if I wait for it to be done, it's not going to be done. This summer, I have a real good buddy back home. You know, we're like brothers. And this past summer, we were like, you know what, we have all these friends who come back from college and they don't even go to church in the summer, you know. There's nothing for them to connect. They don't have any Christian friends. And, you know, they're Christians, right? They're Christians just like us. They believe the same things that we believe, but they're not really living their faith out. There's no Christian accountability. There's no strong Christian friendships. They're just like living the ways of the world with the name of Jesus. Like they're doing all the same things our non-Christian friends are doing, except they claim to be Christians. And like we're like, you know, we have to do something about that. We really feel like there's this call on the Lord to do something about this. And so we felt like the Lord gave us this ministry to do. We're going to call it Spur, because we believe that the Lord is calling us to spur one another on toward love and good works, Hebrews 10:25. And We're going to spur each other on this summer. You know, guys like me and you, we're going to encourage one another in our walk with the Lord. We're going to be speaking the Word of God. We're going to have worship. We're going to have fellowship with one another. And we're going to push each other this summer so that when we go back to our schools in the fall, we are empowered and equipped to create and promote change for the Lord. And like, to me, this is huge. I haven't gone to seminary. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a good speaker or anything like that. But it's a call from the Lord to do this, and it's big and it's scary. And I can't tell you how many times I've been like this close to backing out. I'm like, Chris, man, it's too big. We can't do this on our own. It's too big. But my God is bigger. My God is bigger, and He's given this to us as an act of obedience. So we have to follow. We have to stand in the gap. Another thing, real quick, here on Geneva, God has called me to be here at Geneva for a specific time, for 4 years, hopefully. And hopefully 4 years. And God's called me here for a specific time. And I think sometimes we go through the motions of school just to get a job for the future. I'll be equipped to minister in the future. I'll be equipped in my job. I'll be used here. But God wants to be using us now. And one of the places I feel like He's called me to be used in this next year is through the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I feel like the Lord's given me a gift and ability to play football for a specific time, and who knows that God has used me for the specific time, for the specific purpose. So next year, I feel like the Lord's calling me to be involved with FCA, to step in the gap, and as Christian athletes, we need to step up as athletes on the field, but more importantly, we need to step as a Christian athlete. And there's a difference just between being an athlete and being a Christian. The two need to come together. And FCA is a place where that can happen. And so as athletes, I'm challenging you right now, come out and be a part of that with me. Be a part of serving the Lord as an athlete. Be a part of being a Christian athlete. Find out what that's all about and come out. It meets right now. It's Monday at 10:10. We have a couple more meetings. And next year, it's going to be something special. So be a part of being involved with that. Be someone different as an athlete. Don't just be an athlete and go through the motions. That's my short little challenge, my little preaching thing. But these are my fears, right? Maybe this is something you don't even relate to. Maybe this is something you say, oh, Dan, that's you. You're in a totally different place than I am. I don't understand what you're talking about, where you're coming from. Maybe it's something completely different for you. Maybe for you to be obedient, to live obediently, it means something different. Maybe it means going home and reconciling a relationship, a poor relationship with a parent that you have. Maybe you're upset about something like that. Or maybe it's an issue of forgiveness. Maybe there's someone that has wronged you. Maybe there's someone who's hurt you. And maybe you need to forgive them. Maybe for you, you need to stop avoiding certain people. Maybe you need to be a part of people's lives. Maybe as a Christian, you say, man, that person really irks me. That person drives me up a wall. I can't stand the person. Maybe you just need to love on that person. Maybe you're the one who's called to be involved in that person's life because they're driving everybody else crazy. Maybe for you, it's this summer going on that mission trip that you feel called to. Maybe it's trusting that God's going to provide the money for you to go on that. Maybe for you, it's going to a camp and serving at a camp that you've been feeling like you need to do. Maybe there's that camper who's the crazy camper that nobody can deal with, but you're the one who can relate to that camper. Maybe you're the one who can show the love to that camper. Maybe there's this huge sexual sin issue in your life that you feel like you can't deal with. It's too big for you. You can't get out of it. It's too entrapping. Maybe you need to talk to somebody about that. Maybe you need to get help. Maybe like we talked about earlier, maybe it's porn. Maybe you're stuck in that. It's too big to do on your own, guys. You need to confess it and get help. Maybe those are the things that you're struggling with. There's these mountains that we have in our lives that seem so big, that seem so entrapping, so conquering in our lives that we can't get past it. And we say, God, I don't know, man. This is too big. I can't handle this, God. Guys, let me tell you. God is bigger than the mountain. God's made the mountain. God, I believe that God is big enough not just to be bigger than the mountain. God is big enough to give you that mountain because He knows you need to conquer that. You need to be able to get rid of that sin in your life because once you do, God is going to use you in the most powerful way to change the world for Him. Maybe you need to get rid of that and you're going to need help to do it. Maybe for you, maybe you're like, I'm not even there. I don't need to live obedient to the Lord because the Lord's not even in my life. Maybe you need to open a door. Maybe you just like, you know, I'm not saying throw wide open and just, hey, God, come on in. Maybe it's, God, just a little bit. I'm going to give you a shot. Dr. Meek talked last week about the verse Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Guys, I believe it. I believe it's truth. I believe it's still relevant in our life. Taste and see. Give God a shot. Maybe it means getting up 15 minutes earlier every morning and saying, God, if you are who you say you are, will you show up in my life? Let me know you're real. Let me know you're here. Let me know that you want me, that you love me as I am. These are the maybes that you might be struggling with. These are the fears that you might be struggling with. And I think sometimes, real quick, I just want to say this. I think sometimes we're like, well, why do I need to do these things? Why do I need to be pure? What does that even mean? Why do I need to stop having sex? Why do I need to stop drinking? Why do I need to stop doing all these things? And I just want to give you an example real quick from my life, because there's this guy, his name's Chuck. I had the privilege to go on this leadership training thing last year with five other guys from across the country, and it was awesome. And I gained an accountability partner through this. This guy's old enough to be my grandfather, and he'll call me up, and I'm like, ah. Do you ever have that, like somebody calls you and you're just like, I don't want to talk to you right now? So that happens, and I'm like, oh, man. Because like, I know he's going to ask me tough questions. I know he's going to ask me, he's going to come straight out, and he's going to be like, is your spiritual temperature hot? Are you staying pure? And like, sometimes, you know, I'm like, yeah, it's awesome right now. Or sometimes it's like, nah, Chuck, I'm struggling right now. I'm hurting. And, you know, we'll pray about it. And then sometimes he'll say, Dan, why do we need to be pure? You know, he'll say, why do I ask you these questions? And there's three reasons, basically, that he gives me. Why do we need to be pure in every area of life? I'm not just talking about sexual purity. I'm talking about academic purity. I'm talking about relational purity with other people. Everything. You can be pure in all areas of life. And these are the three reasons. Real quick, he says, number one, because we want to have fellowship with God. God's given us the opportunity to have a relationship with him, and we need to be in fellowship with him and in his word. And if we're not living purely, if we're living in sin, if we're letting these things affect us, we can't do that. Number two, God can't use me if I'm living in sin. I mean, God's big enough, but God's not going to use me if I'm letting this sin stay in my life. I need to get rid of that sin. If I want to be used by God, I need to deal with that. Number three, because I'm finding my satisfaction in something other than God if I'm living in sin. God is big enough to satisfy everything, every need in our life, and I believe that. And those are the three things, the three reasons that we need to get rid of this sin. All right, so we have this fear, right? This fear encompasses our lives. It keeps us. It debilitates us from serving the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:7 is my strength. The Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I believe that. The Lord's given us. Think about serving the Lord. Every time that I think I need to go out and get this done for Christ, I think of this one movie that, like, nothing gets me pumped more to serve the Lord, to go get it done for Christ. This movie's called Braveheart. I don't know if any of you guys have seen it. I'm going to show a clip from that right now. But basically what's going on is the British people are just beating down on the Scottish people for years throughout history. They don't even treat them as a people. They disrespect them. They take their wives. They take their land. They take their property. And that's basically what's going on. And at a time when this revival has gone on to go against the British people, there's one man leading this revolt. His name's William Wallace. He comes in, and all these people are ready to go to battle, but they're having second thoughts. We're going to show that clip right now for you. Pay attention.
I am William Wallace, and I see a whole army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You've come to fight as free men, and free men you are. What will you do without freedom? Will you fight?
Fight against that? No! We will run! And we will live.
Die. Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. and dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
Sure, you can run, but many years from now, would you want to come back? Don't regret it. Don't leave regrets out there. This verse has been bubbling over in my heart. Your life is a vapor. And I think about a candle, and you put it out, there's that little bit of smoke that comes out, and that's what our life is in the perspective of all things. Our life is a vapor. We're empowered to be used in the now. We're empowered to change the world for Christ now. Don't waste your time, because if you wait, you won't do it. Don't wait till you're ready, because you're not going to be ready. Now's the time to stand in a gap. Now's the time to step up and get it done for the Lord. Now's the time to live faithfully. Because right here, I see a whole army of my countrymen. I see a whole army, brothers and sisters in Christ, who are empowered to change the world for Christ. I don't know what that looks like for you. You know, some of those things we talked about. Maybe you need to reconcile that relationship so that you can do this. Maybe you need to do this or that. I don't know what it is for you. I know what it is for me. I know where I need to step and stand in the gap. I don't know what it is right here. This summer, you're going to be doing a lot of things. Think about what your calling here at Geneva is. Where do you need to step in the gap here at Geneva? Where do you need to be used right here, right now? Who's ready to fight, man? Who's ready to fight? Who's ready to step up? If you're ready to step up, I want you to stand up right here with me, because we're ready to go to battle for the Lord. And if you're going to fight with me, I want you to stand with me, because here we are before the Lord. If you're ready to stand in the now, if you're ready to step up in the now and serve the Lord with me, if you're ready to be obedient, to live in obedience, I don't know what it is you need to deal with. Maybe if you just need to deal with something in your life, will you stand up? If you know what that's going to be that you're going to deal with, will you stand up with me and deal with it? Live in obedience. I don't know what it is for you. Live in obedience for the Lord. Fight now. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set the example for the believers." Set the example. We can wait. We can be older, but we must set the example now. We're empowered now, just like Daniel, just like Esther, just like the disciples. We're empowered. We have the Holy Spirit of God living within us, and we're empowered to promote great change in this world. Whatever it is, I'm excited. There's people going to Africa this summer. There's people going to China this summer. There's people going to Jamaica. There's people working in camps. There's people doing youth ministry. There's people who are ready to serve the Lord. Okay, make sure you're living in obedience. Be ready to do it now. You're empowered to create great change for God. You know what the reasons are. You know what we need to do. We need to be men and women of God's word. We need to be transformed by that. Will you fight with me? Thank you.